Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
He just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
It's all good. It's optional. Yeah, rolling in. So interesting music today. I absolutely love it. Welcome in, Fox Sports Knoxville. I am Trey Wallace, getting everything situated over there. This is actually my new bumper music. This is actually my entrance music now. I forgot who sang that song, but yeah, that's new entry.
What do you mean you forgot who sang that song? Right Said Fred, dude. Right Said Fred.
I know that, but still.
Right Said Fred. It's a homage to you because you're too sexy for It's Optional.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah. No, that's
get
true.
You going right, man, on this wonderful
definitely
Wednesday.
True. Hey, welcome, everybody. We've got head coach of the Volunteer Baseball Team, Tony Vitello. Will be joining us here in about 2 minutes. Going to talk about him. Had the big win over Garner Webb last night. Coming off a series sweep over Kentucky. Look forward to having him on. Excited to talk to him a little bit about what's going on when it comes to Tennessee baseball. They're on a 5-game winning streak right now. They are heading to Arkansas this weekend, which is going to be, that's a very tough matchup, especially on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday matchups they got rolling on. Because they have been doing the last few weeks, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So excited to have him on. We'll have Jason Martin from the Big Six from 104.5 The Zone going to join us at 2:05 today. Talk about the NFL draft that's going on in his city. Also talk about the Predators clanking out of the playoffs. God, that was horrible. But I did get to witness last night one of the best NHL games that I have ever watched in my life. San Jose Sharks versus the Vegas Golden Knights. It was absolutely ridiculous. San Jose was down three goals. I'm sorry. Vegas was up 3-0 with like 14 minutes to go in the last period. And all of a sudden, San Jose comes out of nowhere. Bang, bang, bang. 3 goals. And then they capped it off with the fantastic goal at the end and overtime. It was tremendous. It was fun to watch. Glad I got to. The crazy part is we're about to bring Coach Tony Vitello on. The crazy part is I was going to bed. I logged off. Vegas was up 3-0. I was like, okay, I'm done. And then all of a sudden I'm in bed. You know, I check Twitter before I go to bed. Anything breaking before. All of a sudden, bam, it's 3-3 and going to overtime. I'm like, all right, I guess I got to watch overtime now. So it was a good time. I am excited now to bring on the head coach of the Tennessee baseball team, which is, let me tell you something, folks, if you have not gone out to Lindsey Nelson Stadium this year and got to witness these guys play, and hopefully you've been able to watch them on the SEC Network and ESPN and everywhere else it's been carried, you're missing out. Excited to have him here. Tony Vitello joins us now. Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well now. I appreciate that plug.
Well, I mean, if we're going to plug the local teams here in town, I'm going to do it the right way. And you guys have done too good of a job not to get that great plug. So congratulations on the season so far, Coach.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, you make a good point. It's a long drive to Atlanta to go to a game, even though it's great to do so. And of course, we'll be able to go see Nixon Zell up in Cincinnati, but that's a haul. But with the Smokies, some of the prospects they have and the prices of tickets there and here, I mean, guys can see future big leaguers for a cheap price, but I think what we got going on with this team right now is, you know, people can come see guys play their hearts out a little bit. These guys got a little bit of mojo to them.
I want to start off first. I lived in Nashville for 5 years before previously moving here, and I got to watch, you know, Vanderbilt University put in the artificial turf at their stadium, and I got to see a bunch of games there because I have a good friend that writes for them, and to see Tennessee be able to get that same kind of field laid down. I saw everything that it did well for them and Tim Corbin. How would you say that you've enjoyed it? And there's some things about it this year that have made you guys be able to play some games maybe that you wouldn't have been able to with the weather here in East Tennessee. How tremendous has that been for you and the university to give that to the team?
It's been huge, and I think the first thing for now is we're trying to win people over, and we're also trying to win some people back.
Yep.
And, you know, our grounds crew did a great job with what we had before, but this thing is superior as it relates to aesthetics, because anytime a recruit, a donor, a fan, media, opposing teams show up, it looks great. It looks the same every day.
Yeah.
So it really helps with kind of this process we're in the middle of trying to create a good reputation around town. And, you know, on top of that, we've been able to have actual people from the community, whether it's Emerald Youth or a few little league teams. We've done a few community service things where we've let people run around on this thing like crazy because, again, it doesn't do damage. But ultimately, the main point you're getting at is it's helped our play on the field. We've been able to practice more intently because we're not tiptoeing around sensitive areas. And then our pitching has been our strength of our team, and we've been able to keep our rotation and kind of our routines in order because we have not missed any games this year, and we've had almost no, I'm trying to think, one time we had to continue a game the next day, but no games that were suspended and moved to different days.
Coach, I had a friend of mine who was covering your series in Nashville against Vanderbilt, and he texted me. We have a little group text, and this was kind of funny. He texted me, he goes, "Guys, you aren't going to believe this, but Tennessee pitcher Schultz just hit 102 miles per hour on the stadium gun." And we responded back, and we were like, wow, you know, that's crazy. But it gets back to the pitching that you guys have established this year for the Volunteers. How deep is your rotation right now, and how much have they come through for you guys? And with people also saying that maybe Tennessee's arrived a year early, I tell them, go look at their pitching staff right now, and especially the guys that surround them.
I think so, and you know, I say this humbly, but if we had to, I think we could go six deep in the starting rotation, and a lot of times you end up seeing TBA or to be determined for weekend rotation. Guys have two starters but not sure about their third, and, you know, we really have six, you know, four guys back from the end of last year, and then Camden Sewell, a freshman who started last night, has been outstanding for us. You know, so we feel like we've got the depth there. If we had to, we've thrown Crochet into the mix too. He would be the sixth. But in a regional, if you come out of that loser's bracket, you need at least five starters. And so we have that. Of course, you got to earn your way into a regional as well. And then two, we've got four different guys with saves on our staff. So there's multiple guys we trust at the beginning, the end. And then Frank and I, our pitching coach, we're trying like crazy to get everyone else in the middle of the game because there's still some of those young guys we're trying to develop for the future when there's a little bit of turnover for the staff.
Coach, looking at the schedules and everything that goes into it, and there's been a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but these Thursday through Saturday type series, you know, due to TV and Easter weekend, the rotation without Neely, is that something you kind of want to keep? Or, you know, you're switching over now. We're going into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend in Arkansas. What is your philosophy on that? And have you enjoyed these series starting on a Thursday?
You know, I enjoy the back end, the Sunday where you're able to catch your breath.
There you go.
It's abnormal to have really any off day because Mondays are players' off day NCAA-wise. But the kids still come in and get work done, and we're scrambling, catching up from the weekend and preparing for the next week. So on the back end, it's very enjoyable. On the front end, it's hell, if I'm allowed to say that.
No,
on
you
air.
Can. Yeah, you can.
Get pinched. You get pinched for travel roster, all kinds of different things. So, you know, ultimately, I don't know what the best way is because the kids do have to go to class. So it probably is the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But for this week and the weeks prior to, We've slid Garrett into the rotation with Neely getting banged up on a line drive. And Garrett really has developed into a starter. He now has quality off-speed pitches to complement the fastball. And he's such a dynamic arm. The options are endless with him. Close him, come get a lefty out, middle relief, start. But we did give him that opportunity, and we beat Emerson Hancock, who might be the best pitcher in the country. So, you know, you hate to change things around in those instances. And for now, Will Neely's kind of our X factor. We had to restart a game at Kentucky after a rain delay, and we're like, heck, this is easy. We have a starter, Will Neely. And same thing, you know, you get into the postseason, you may need that extra starter. So for now, he's kind of our X factor, but I would be surprised if he wasn't called upon to throw some really important innings down the stretch here.
Coach, last week, all 14 teams in the SEC were in the top 50 in the RPI, and I think they're all in the top 60 this week. Have you ever seen more of a brutal league top to bottom than the SEC this year?
No, I mean, each year prior, but it keeps getting better and better. And in all the other sports, I feel like SEC is in contention for saying we're the best top to bottom. But also in those other sports that I mentioned, like football, you know, there's always a year where the gap isn't that wide, or a conference can make an argument that they're the best. You know, the ACC can always say, well, no, we got the best basketball conference, even though it's not as deep as ours. But in baseball, that gap is widening. And it's just with the facilities, the fan bases, the numbers are increasing in the favor of the SEC. You see it on MLB rosters. There's twice as many SEC guys as the next leading conference. And, it's been fun to be a part of that, because that's why you jump into athletics, is
right,
not to see what you can do when it's easy, but to see what you can do when you're challenged. And you will be challenged in many, many ways in this league, just like our guys will going to Arkansas. The challenge is the competition, but it's also the fan base. It's the media, the facility that kind of looms over you there. And, again, that's why you do it.
Coach, look, so yeah, and Arkansas is going to be – I mean, they have 9,000 folks, you know, per game out there. So that's going to be a handful for the Volunteers. But I think if your guys' pitching continues on and strength, it can get out of the wind. But let me ask you a question. I've had a few people DM me since I said that you were going to be on our show today, asking about regionals. And I've tried to explain this to them. But you guys right now, you're in the top 10 in the RPI, which in my eyes, covering a lot of baseball in the past, that should give a pretty good chance to host an NCAA regional. Has the university – have you guys maybe started to think about, you know, the submitting the paperwork in case there is a chance that you guys continue on this stretch down the rest of the season and potentially host one?
Yeah, there's kind of the business side to all this, recruiting, facilities, the paperwork you're mentioning.
Yes, sir.
And then there's the baseball side. And, you know, some of our guys are getting dressed right now or out on the field in uniform. And those guys need to worry about, how do I get better today?
Right.
And then on game day, how do I compete? On the business side of things, I can tell you that everything has been a pleasant surprise since I've been here, how things have been handled. And, you know, we wouldn't have got the artificial surface done so quickly if that wasn't the case. And they're being equally ambitious about anything we can do to get something like that here, they're doing, whether it's the paperwork, kind of networking a little bit, because yeah, sometimes there is that 50-50 deal. You know, the professor may feel like you got a B+, but if you maybe ask a few extra questions, maybe they give you an A, you know. So that's the easiest way I can say, I think on both sides of the fence, the business side and the competing side, we're doing everything possible we can do. But ultimately, the SEC is the league where you have a great opportunity to perform, but you have to perform. And if you do, you'll get rewarded in the postseason. And we got 12 conference games left.
Coach, you talked about earlier about the pitch, and obviously that's what we've noticed too. And you brought on a guy, one of your first hires was Frank Anderson, former Oklahoma State head coach. We all know what he did at Houston too as a pitching coach, and who he's coached over the years. How much did that help you in your transition to be the head coach at Tennessee, bringing him on with you?
Well, it's helped tremendously on the pitching side. I mean, it's probably the best thing that's happened to this program in a long time has been him being able to acquire him. And our working relationship, friendship helped that, but timing was huge. But the big thing for me personally, you know, directly asking me that question is, I've never been a head coach before, uh-huh, and he has. So while I feel like Coach Elander and Coach Kivett are doing a great job and continue to grow as assistant coaches, Coach Anderson's the one I have the most conversations with, because I've had to lean on him in so many different categories. Because, you know, anytime you do something for the first time, even if it's just make out a travel roster, you don't want to make a mistake. And you can either be hesitant or you can be, you know, looking for a second opinion. And that's where he's helped me individually as much as anything. But as far as the program go, there's no doubt he's made a massive difference in the pitching staff.
Coach, you talked about, you know, getting some fans back. You know, that's what bringing some of those fans back, creating the excitement back around the baseball program. And I know from my experiences, there's a lot of excitement that can be over at that stadium. The fans are very passionate about it. When you guys look back, you and your coaches, are you a little surprised at the jump that you made this season? And I know it surprised a lot of fans. Or is this something that you saw when you came in, just a couple tweaks and improvements, and you had a really good ball club?
Well, yeah, it's kind of been an up-and-down roller coaster, to be honest with you, in a lot of categories. You know, we right away recognized, okay, the facility is great in a lot of areas, but now that we know it better, there's some things that really need to drastically improve. And then all of a sudden you get the surface, and you get Coach Fulmer coming over here looking around. So there's been a lot of good things and bad things, and I would compare that, too, to how we see our team. You know, last year we just wanted to do whatever we could to compete, but we really got exposed in some holes, and we signed an incredible class, so we're fired up. And then we got crushed by the draft. We lost seven players that were supposed to be incoming guys to either the draft, and one of them, who leads the country in strikeouts in junior college, did not have grades. So then your kind of heart sinks a little bit. And then you watch these guys play in the fall, and we're thinking maybe we got some stuff here. And, you know, like I said, whatever it is, they kind of have a little mojo to them. Frank's really developed some guys. There's some things that have gone in the right direction. And, you know, so it hasn't been an all we got it moment, because we don't. But it's just been encouraging a lot of different ways each and every day.
Two more questions, Coach, and I'll let you go. I know you got a busy schedule. Really quick, did you expect this much power out of your lineup? Because there were times before the season even started that maybe you didn't think that you would see and be able to beat teams with a lot of power. How surprised are you that you've been able to get the hits and the hardcore home runs this year?
Well, Andre's just a special hitter, so we expected him to do his thing, and he's done that. And if anything, he's hitting a very loud 275 or wherever he sits. I don't put too much stock into the batting average. Right. We keep quality at-bats, and he's second on the team in those at-bats. And then when he's hitting the ball, you know, like last night, he hits a home run. And Alaric's the other leader in that category. And Alaric's always hit home runs ever since he was little. But those have been on smaller fields. And he came in, and he was thin and needed to put on weight. Well, he and Coach Q have put 20 pounds on his body, and I think that's helped. And then some of the other guys have stepped up in some of those areas, too. And I think, you know, Coach Elander helped make that difference at Arkansas. My last year there, we split the duties hitting-wise, and we led the SEC in home runs for the first time ever in Arkansas history. So, you know, to keep it a short answer, there's a lot of things contributing to that, but we did not see that on the front end. I'd be fibbing to you if I said we did.
Coach, last question. How much has it been good for you and the program to have the support of, and I know it's all around, but have the support of, you know, the basketball teams, the softball teams, the football teams, having that synergy between all these different athletic groups around campus? How much has that meant to you and your baseball program?
You cannot measure it. You know, wins and losses can measure whether fans or coaches think they're doing well with the team. Other things, you know, again, Alaric steps on the scale. He sees he's putting on 20 pounds. But you can't measure something that's in the air. And, you know, with administrative changes and changes to some new coaches that have great track records and a lot of energy they're bringing on campus, and Lady Vols basketball will be the next group to feel that. It's an environment that's affected our recruiting. I think it's affected our players' mindset and just the entire culture on campus. And, again, we're trying to win fans back, and we can't do that ourselves. We need a lot of help. And that's one area we're getting that help. And, I mean, every kid that I talk to on the phone via text or literally on the phone, which is rare nowadays, the first thing he talked about in February through March was our basketball team. And I get to say, well, Coach Barnes comes over to the baseball stadium, and they think that's the greatest thing ever. And it just matters. Again, I wish I could measure it, but it's made a huge impact on us.
Coach, we truly appreciate you joining us today. Good luck out in Fayetteville. Go take care of business, and we'll come back and we'll wrap this season up at home. But we appreciate you joining us. Look forward to seeing you out at Lindsey Nelson, and you guys have safe travels out to Arkansas.
Sounds great. We really appreciate anyone that does come to the yard or even supporting us from home. So thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach. Tony Vitello, Coach of the Tennessee baseball team. Fantastic interview.
Good stuff.
Down-to-earth guy.
Always good stuff from Coach Vitello. I remember when I first talked to him when he first was hired. Yeah. He's got the swag about him, too. I think that helps out, too.
Meat stick.
He's a hell of a recruiting guy, and the young swag type, he can really relate to the players. I like him a lot.
Yeah, we're going to have him on again.
He's got a lot of confidence.
I want to talk about the third assistant coach, too, so we're going to have him on next week and talk about that a little more. Couldn't get at everything. He's a busy man getting ready for practice. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get the show rolling on. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along here in the 1 o'clock hour. Appreciate Tennessee baseball head coach Tony Vitello for joining us today. A little bit of breaking news out of Nashville right now. The Tennessee House has okayed sports betting bill. It pretty much now goes to the Senate.
Yeah.
And I've heard a bunch of stories being written over the last couple of days that it would clear the Senate, and then it would get signed by Republican Governor Bill Lee.
First step.
So, big deal. Big deal. I think it's time. I think you could put a casino, maybe Memphis for a casino or Nashville right there on the water somewhere.
Nashville. That would be prime location. They could make a lot of money in Nashville with the amount of tourists and just people migrating to the city.
They'd probably put one in Gatlinburg.
Memphis would also be another one because you already have, Tunica very near, close by. So, logistically, people are very used to that type of gaming, probably like permits and stuff, getting that stuff ready.
I'd like to go hiking and then go to the casino.
Gatlinburg would be nice. I could see something in Gatlinburg.
Pigeon Forge, my fault. Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't see one in Knoxville, though.
The biggest thing, though,
where the hell would you pull one in Knoxville?
Would be the online sports bettors, like DraftKings and FanDuel. You could get the app and play in the state of Tennessee.
There's a show out on Showtime now. It's called Action.
Really?
So they follow around these sports bettors and stuff like that. A guy named Vegas Dave, who just seems like an idiot, but he's made a lot of money betting. But they follow these people around, and pretty much they're documenting their life as a sports bettor. But it talks about, you were onto it, Brandon, about FanDuel, how they opened up their new betting facility in the Meadowlands in New Jersey at that racetrack. So now it's a full-blown, whatever you want to call it, sports book. And then also they have one. It wasn't in Las Vegas. I forgot that DraftKings has something along those lines too. So I'm interested to see where these small little FanDuel type places would pop up.
Well, see, they have an app that you're only allowed to use in certain states, like New Jersey and Nevada. And I'm saying for people that aren't going to be going to an actual sports book, you could just download the app and play. And that's like a legit sports book. You're going to get paid.
That's true. How excited are you guys for the draft tomorrow night in Nashville?
Not excited at all. I can't lie to you. It's just I don't get that much into it.
You're not intrigued because there's nothing concrete yet?
No, I mean, I'll watch it. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not going to watch any of the draft. I will watch portions of the draft, but I'm not that excited about it. My team really never does anything. Talking about the Packers, seems like they never really get any picks that excite me. And I just can't be full-blown draft guy. I just really don't get into it that much, and it's been like that for a while. I'll watch the first night. Yeah, watch the first couple picks. I want to see if Kyler Murray does indeed go to the Cardinals. That intrigues me. Will the Giants get Dwayne Haskins?
There's too many defensive linemen that are in the top of the draft for me to get super interested.
Well,
Kyler Murray goes one, the next four picks are defensive linemen.
Let me ask you this. You're watching – I know everybody's going to watch tomorrow night. It's primetime draft, and it's Nashville. The state of Tennessee, it's kind of neat seeing Nashville involved in it. But are you watching Friday night and then Saturday during the day? Is that something that
– although I never do. I've never watched past the first round, honestly.
Is it because Tennessee doesn't have any athletes in there this year that potentially get drafted besides Shy or Kyle?
For me, it's not that. No, it's just the draft doesn't – like Brent said, I kind of watched the first couple picks, and I'll look for some big names that might slip and see where they go. But I can just watch the ticker, or I can just watch Twitter for that.
I can come back, look up Twitter, and see every pick.
I don't have to actually watch the draft. Mm-hmm. I think that's what hurts the draft. Outside of the people who are diehards watching it all the time. There are people who love it too. They love it. Yeah, the leakers. They said this year there's not going to be any leaks, I'm sure.
Did they try that last year?
No, I thought last year they were doing it on purpose. I thought like they were leaking out the picks or something, like they were allowing them to. I don't know.
They had like sign a agreement with the NFL.
I think it was NFL Network. Ian Rappaport was the one that couldn't put out the tweets last year pertaining who's going to get picked first. I just remember it being some, because they made a big deal about it. Like, hey, we're not going to be leaking any picks. You're going to get it from here and here only. Well, then all of a sudden you had beat reporters finding stuff out and them tweeting out the picks before it came out. So it really.
You know who we're not going to know who's they're going to pick? The Oakland Raiders. Since they sent everyone home that could possibly leak it. Unless it's the GM or John Gruden.
John Gruden got a fake Twitter account?
I don't know. Apparently, there's a story where he took his draft binder to the bathroom with him in his own family home because he didn't want anyone to see it.
That doesn't surprise
heavy
me.
Heavy play by Gruden. Heavy play.
No, he's like that, though.
That's what I'm saying. He's not leaking.
God bless him.
The GM won't leak it, and they're the only two left in the draft room. So
I think the biggest thing going in the draft for the state of Tennessee and Titans fans is, are the Titans going to draft a quarterback in this draft to potentially fill the shoes of Marcus can't fulfill?
I don't think so. They just signed Tannehill.
No, I mean,
we're going to have three pretty substantial contracts
Tannehill
on the books.
Wouldn't be a 5-year starter.
No, but I'm saying contractually, you're not going to have a third string quarterback making first round, second round money. Might take a flyer.
We're going to talk TJ. Drew Lock?
I don't think they'll take a quarterback first or second round. I think they're going to try to, like, hopefully there's a steal late that maybe they can take.
Drew Lock's going 10 to Denver. John Elway can't stay away from big armed quarterbacks. Drew Lock, lock it in. You heard it
lock
here first.
Lock it in, huh? Drew Lock to Denver.
Somebody says there might be a casino in Sevierville. Maybe so. An Indian tribe approves Tennessee land purchase.
Yeah. But the alcohol laws are weird up in Sevier County. Like, just a couple of years ago, you were able to finally buy liquor, like, outside of just buy the drink.
Yeah. They just recently.
They're weird. I don't know. It was liquor, I don't know what the whole setup is nowadays, but that was, like, 4 years
ago. Whereas Valley used to be a dry county.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be that. We're going to talk about casinos, too, later on, probably in the week. But I am interested to see, when it comes to draft picks, do the Cardinals try to move up, get Kyler Murray? How does that play out? Who do they give up, though, as well? Are they going to try to fit in Patrick Peterson into any kind of deal to get rid of the one? I'm so interested to see. We're going to talk to Jason Martin about the draft coming up at 2:05. As well, are you guys getting ready for Avengers Endgame? Any of you guys going to go see the movie?
Going to see it, but I still haven't seen Captain Marvel yet, so I got to watch that one. But I will eventually see Endgame. I think you have to if you're a Marvel fan.
I've seen Iron Man and a couple sprinkled in.
Oh, you're good.
So, no, I'm not going to ruin the ending.
Let's take a break. Back on the other side, it's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Welcome back to It's Optional, right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, AM 1340, 865-546-8200 if you want to get on with us, 546-8200. Another thank you to head baseball coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Tony Vitello. We already have cut that interview up at Fox Sports Knoxville soon. We'll have that tweeted out. It is up at Sports Radio Knoxville on SoundCloud. It'll be up on the website if you want to go check that out. Really good stuff from him. Talking about really the process of him coming in, you know, getting his guys to buy in, talking about his wonderful staff of assistant coaches, starting off with assistant head coach Frank Anderson, former Oklahoma State head coach back in the day. Also, he was a pitching coach at Houston when Vitello was able to snap him up. Talking about the pitching, man, the pitching's really been the straw that stirs the drink for this baseball team. And the hitting. We talked about a little bit of the power hitting, the power that he's gotten this season. And for those of us that can remember, that was what a lot of people with Dave Serrano said. He liked to play a lot of small ball.
Did anyone ask him Sorry, I got here late.
No, go for it.
You want to ask him if he would prefer to wear a polo and khakis, or does he enjoy wearing the same uniform as his players?
Mm-hmm. No.
The hell, who the,
what That's a good question. I'm curious what a
head
baseball
coaches wear polos.
Would you rather wear a polo and
khakis?
He's
just throwing the question out there.
Or would you rather wear a baseball jersey and baseball
pads?
Would
it make him feel part of the game wearing a?
Well, there's a reason Belichick doesn't wear shoulder pads.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I would say in baseball, not even what Trey's saying, like, makes him feel a part of the game. I think that's just been status quo. You're a ball player. You wear the ball uniform. So it'd probably be a little weird for him out there. I like his beard, though. He's got a good, strong beard game these days. He came in with a fresh-cut face, looking a lot younger than what he already is. Now he's stepped it up. Maybe that's the reason for the success. Maybe that's part of the reason, the beard.
It's on the beard.
Strong beard game. I'm sure he's probably not going to cut it until.
Chance, you played a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
How much does coaching actually weigh into wins and losses?
Well, coaching plays in a lot because baseball, and everybody knows this or at least have heard it, that it's like 90% mental or whatever they say,
right.
90% mental, 10% physical. So to have good coaches on your staff leading you, that makes a lot of difference in baseball because everything's so mental and morale. When you're in a hitting slump, when you're pitching, you're getting beat up a couple games pitching wise. When your team's going through, you know, one of those slumps, you know, that happens in baseball for a lot of guys, for a lot of teams, and because there's those down periods where it's not like basketball and football at times to get yourself up and get hype and get motivated. So you really do need a powerful vocal leader leading you. I've played with some coaches in the past. I mean, had some coaches that were just total dimwits. And, like, when you go out there and you think you know everything then more than your coach, it makes it tough. They're making stupid decisions in game. And when they can't really move a crowd or move the room. So, yeah, I think coaching helps out a lot. And I wanted to ask him, but we ran out of time, just like how much does he believe? He probably wouldn't give much credence to it. Does he believe him being a younger coach opposed to some of the older coaches in baseball helps him out? Because he's listening to the same music as his guys. He talked about when he got hired at his press conference listening to Post Malone. He gets out the plane in J's.
Did he really?
Yeah, he talked about Post Malone.
It's pretty fantastic.
The congratulations song. He quoted it, actually, because I asked him about it. And he hopped out the plane in Air Jordans. So, like, it's a guy who, you know.
He's Dan Mullen for baseball.
Yeah, exactly, but a lot younger. And I think he, you know. So, I think that plays a lot into it in baseball, just because you need a good leader.
It's interesting to see how he's taken over. And he's not reminds me of a Bruce Pearl type energy,
yeah,
with a program.
Oh yeah, I like that. And sometimes in baseball too, going back to what you were saying, Brandon, sometimes you can beat a lot of teams without being the more talented team. You can't really do that a lot in basketball and football. It happens, but it doesn't happen a lot. But in baseball, you can, and that stems from the leadership.
The reason I was asking though is because you're not calling plays.
Yeah,
you know, most teams leave it up to the catcher to, you know, have a feel for the game. He'll call the pitches.
And
I mean, you might set the outfield depth or say when to shift.
Well, the head coach, he'll do some defensive alignments. He's obviously making the final call on a lot of, like, you know, certain plays on the base paths and hit and run when they want to go into hit and run and different things like that. And then the pitching coach is going to be even more vocal. He's going to be the one that the catcher's looking over to, and they're going to be talking about the game plan for the pitches being called each inning and to each batter and doing all the scouting reports that they've done for that. So, yeah, leadership matters in baseball. He's a good leader so far. It damn sure looks like it. And I'm proud to see him playing some good baseball, man. Like, he didn't really say that it was a surprise to where they were at when I asked him. But he kind of said, yeah, it has been up and down and some tweaks here and there. And they knew they had a pretty good roster. So I think that it has been a little bit of a surprise to them because of their fluctuation back and forth,
they
too.
They kind of came out of nowhere, in a sense. You know, I was talking to Chris Lee, who's been on the show and covers Vanderbilt, and he gets to be around a program that's, you know, that's dominant. And he even said, man, this is a team that kind of came out of nowhere. He goes, they had talent, but, man, they were also, when you narrow down their pitching, what they've been getting with their hitting, I think it's all a big plus. So I do think they've caught some people by surprise, but if they can also go around 6-6 to wrap up this year,
mm-hmm.
I think they're hosting an NCAA regional.
And like I told him when we talked to him, people in this town are very passionate about Tennessee Vols baseball. Very passionate about college baseball. When they're winning,
it's
and
$2 to get in.
They're just very passionate about it. You get a regional here, it will fill up. And depending on how far those guys can go in a postseason scenario, fans will fill the stands.
NCAA regionals are fun. Look what Tennessee softball has done. I swear, if Tennessee softball like added onto their stadium and put that place at like 4,000 seats, I still think it would sell out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what, they're getting around six. I'm just saying, overall sports at Tennessee, it seems like they're on the track to get a lot better and continue doing better, and it's because the money that the university is also contributing to those factors.
Well, the money, too, and I think it helps out when he looks over at softball and he looks at what Ralph and Karen Weekly have done all these years. That motivates
your
you to get the baseball level up to that same success. I think that helped Bruce Pearl whenever he got here and saw what Pat Summitt was doing. That will help you. Hopefully that helps Kelly Jolly Harper, not Holly Jolly Harper, but Kelly Jolly Harper. Hopefully that helps her looking over at the basketball program, too, when it comes up. 865-546-800. Let's go and take a phone call from Raj. I know Roger has a lot to say after that Tony Vitello baseball interview. What's up, Roger?
Not much. And how you doing? How you doing today?
Good to hear from you, bud. How are you?
I'm fine. How's your friend? The guy with you. Who is it again?
Trey. The man with the plan. Trey Wallace. You know Trey.
Okay. Hey Trey, how you doing?
What's
Trey?
What's up, Raj? How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah, that's why I asked you. Did you have a good Easter?
It was good. I had a great time. Just kind of hanging out a little bit. Got to see the uncle. It was a fantastic time.
Roger, I had a really good Easter, man. I ate really good. I sat back. I relaxed a little bit. Watched some basketball. Watched a little baseball. What about you, Roger? Eat a lot. Eat good.
Yeah. Yeah,
get to church.
Good service. So yeah,
that's good. That's good.
And,
good Sunday.
Yeah,
That's a good Sunday, sir.
Oh yeah. Sorry, right. And that's when I asked you about your baseball. I like Tony Law. His team changed. I'd be curious how he does this weekend. But I'm gonna one last thought. Are y'all impressed how the baseball team you're doing this year?
Roger, for the most part, I'd say that all of us are pretty impressed. We felt like we had a pretty good coach when you signed him. Whenever they signed him, it was like, you know, he's one of the best recruiters in the country. I think Baseball Today or whatever it was said he was number two at the time. He had been a recruiting coordinator of the year. He does some wonderful things, so we're surprised, but we're not too surprised because it seemed like we got a really good one. And the way he talks, it seems like he's going to be really good for baseball, Roger.
Oh yeah, he's doing a good job. I like the guy. I like how he talks. You know, I like how he talks. He talks faith. He talks confident, and he gets them. He believes in them. They can win. You know, I like that. You know, too. He's kind of that's what you need. That's what you need, coach. You need somebody who can believe. They can believe. You know, believe you can win. You know.
Yeah, Raj, he's doing pretty good so far. It looks like they're gonna make a deep run. And Raj, thanks for the phone call, man. Really appreciate you, man. Make sure you call us back.
Sure.
He's doing a good job. He's got him cracked the top 20. What he said about Frank Anderson coming in too and the pitching. I do believe this is some of the best pitching anybody has seen at this program right now.
Well,
and that speaks volumes.
Well, I look at the schedule. And it kind of went over it last night. They're going to go to Arkansas this week. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Coach Vitello won't say it, but I will. He'd be happy if he got out of there with one win.
Yes.
At Arkansas. Arkansas is a tough team and a very tough place to play at. He'd be happy to go 1-2 in Arkansas. And then you're going to come back. There's no midweek game next week. You're going to come back. You're going to start a series with Missouri. Missouri. And that's going to be at Lindsey Nelson. And then you're pretty much it's how it's going to roll out is you get Austin Peay, and then you got a series against Florida. You have Tennessee Tech during the week. Then you're wrapping things up at home against Ole Miss. So, you know, if he can go down the stretch here and somehow, 6-6 down the stretch in the SEC play, if he can get to that mark, I think they have a really good chance of hosting a regional. Which would be great for this Tennessee club and the community. So
that's what you want.
You know, he's doing a good job. We got to catch one more break before we get out. So let's do that. We'll come back at the other side. We'll kind of wrap up the first hour. Get ready for Jason Martin from 104.5 The Zone. He's going to join us right at 2 o'clock.
Feel it.
Marky Mark.
Feel
the Funky Bunch to go out with. It's up. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville.
Danger.
Rolling back into the Top Gun 2, getting ready for that movie to come out. They're currently wrapping up filming now with Miles Teller and Tom Cruise.
That's right, Miles.
I'm very excited about this. That's one of the movies that I look forward to in 2020.
Top Gun 2?
Yeah, just I want to see how stupid it's going to be.
That's what I was going to say.
Like,
I feel
is
like
going to bring back the girl?
Like it's probably going to be pretty dumb.
The girl's got to be, what, like 60 now?
Although I'm always here for sequels. I'm not the sequel bashing guy. I just feel like it's not going to be that good.
We don't have an enemy like the Russians anymore.
Exactly. Who's going to be our enemy?
North Korea.
They don't have jets.
We got to tread lightly.
They don't even have food for their people.
We got to tread lightly against planes. That stuff these days. We can't just have the Middle East as our enemies out there in a movie. Can't just have North Korea out there in a movie. It'll
Maybe
actually cause
fly
real
and
problems.
Try to find Snowden or something. I don't know. I mean, hell, whatever. It's still going to be good. It's you know what it's going to be. It's going to be Maverick coming back, and then Goose's son comes out of nowhere. You killed my father. And then they're going to trade.
Is that how he's going to say it, too?
I disagree. I think it's going to – first scene is going to be Maverick in the control tower, and then Goose's son is going to buzz the tower, and Maverick's going to spill his coffee, but not get mad at him because that's what Maverick used to
do. No, I think he comes out of nowhere.
He's not going to say, you killed my father.
No. He's going to go into flight school.
You Star killed Wars. My father.
No, I don't mean like that. He's going to go into flight school. And then he's going to find out, oh, that's Maverick. I haven't heard from him in so long. And then they'll build this drama back up and everything. And then they'll come down to it. Somehow the world's going to come to an end or something bad's going to happen. And then Goose's son is going to be like, I don't have a riding partner. What am I going to do? And then Maverick's going to come up and be like, hey, I'll ride with you. And they'll name him Baby Goose. And they'll go out and they'll kill everybody.
If I know Maverick, like I think I know Maverick,
well,
he ain't taking the back seat for nobody. Baby Goose can sit in the back for me.
No, that's Baby cool. Goose is going to be the hot shot. He's going to come in and be the old hot shot. I'm cool.
It's not in his blood.
And Maverick's going to be like, you know what, Little Goose? I was just like
Little
you.
Goose?
I was just like you growing up. I was just like
you. You know what, Little school. Goose?
You have to come on and you have to write yourself. And then all of a sudden, bam, they work together. They solve the world crisis problem by flying.
I disagree. Maybe him and Little Iceman are both going to hate Maverick.
See, there could be a Little Iceman. Now, Val Kilmer is in the movie, I've heard.
I'm all for it.
He's in the movie, I've heard. So that makes it a little more interesting now.
You think if they could go back, they'd name him the Ice King?
Maybe Iceman like goes off and starts his own army.
Oh, the Ice King. Iceman starts his own what?
He starts his
No chance.
His own army? Is that what you said?
Not his own army, but like tries to go rogue.
Had to like step back on that one. His own
army. And then
army,
Little
huh?
Goose has to go trace him down.
Little Goose,
Little Goose,
be,
and Big yeah, Mav. Huh?
Well, we got to come up with new names for him.
Geese. Yeah. I don't know. No, I'm just saying. I think that's how the I think that's how the plot lays out. I've seen some pictures of them. Like,
the other guy
shooting it. And, like, one was, like, a crash scene.
Okay, so his dad's name is Goose. He's got to be Duck, right? Like, you know, Duck, Duck, Goose.
Yeah, that's what I was
Duck.
Thinking.
No, it's going to be Lil Goose.
When are they filming this
they're
now?
They're wrapping it up right now.
Really?
Yeah, they've been filming it
When's
for about
it
three months.
When's it going to be released?
Sometime beginning of 2020.
You going to go opening night?
No. God, no. It ain't that type.
And Miles Teller is going to be Goose?
Yeah.
He's going to be Lil Goose?
Just look it up
he's
on
gonna
IMDb.
Be Duck.
That's yeah.
Miles Teller, huh?
Yeah, no, you just look up Top Gun 2. Yeah.
I wish they like cast Jonah Hill for that role.
Hmm.
I didn't. What's
that's a joke, by the way.
No, I know that. What's that new Jonah Hill movie that's come? Oh, God, he directed something.
Superbad.
God bless. No, it's that new movie with the kids. Seth Rogen directed it.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I tweeted
that
out a while
hilarious.
Back.
Hilarious. Yes. I do look forward to that. I don't know what it's called. Seth Rogen has a new movie coming out called Long Shot with Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Actually, good, it's kind of funny.
Seth Rogen's moving up in the world. I'll say that.
Yeah, he's making money. And well, Jonah Hill never got past the money ball.
I disagree.
Yeah, I would no, disagree
I
mean, as well.
I really disagree with that one.
I feel like he had some more
he's
movies
like
after money ball.
He's like an A-lister now.
War Dogs was good.
Yeah.
With Miles Teller.
Never seen War Dogs.
That's a good movie.
I mean, we could all agree Fat Jonah Hill is the more entertaining Jonah Hill, but...
Well, no, oh, yeah. I like him in these serious roles.
Yeah, he's fat.
He was in that trippy movie
Skinny
with
Jonah
Matthew
Hill's
McConaughey.
Not that
like skinny Jonah Hill will live longer, but I'll go watch more fat Jonah Hill movies.
No, that's a good point.
Okay.
It is a good point. He's funnier. His movies have been funnier when he was a little bit on the larger side. Don't know if he was getting his funny from somewhere else. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a mind thing for him. But he has been funnier.
Well, that took a weird turn going from Goose to Jonah Hill and the skinniness. Okay. We're gonna go to break. Whatever. Just cut the cord.
It's the truth. You can ask people.
I know. Jason Martin's gonna join us at 2:05, pretty much right when we come back in. So we'll do that coming up next.
I'm watching this Top Gun trailer now.
Thank you.
Then he became an instructor.
There's a trailer?
He's getting buzzed at the
tower. On YouTube, yeah.
100%.
Okay, we got to go to break. Let's go to break. We'll come back. I got to watch the trailer. I haven't seen the trailer.